Along those lines, what we're going to be talking about today is the Gospel of Matthew. As David brought up, we've had a whole long series about the book of Acts, about how the church started and spread. Now, I thought it'd be good to go back to the book of Matthew and just take a look at the message of Jesus. And to start this, I'd like for you to think about, if you were walking down the street and you met somebody that didn't know about Jesus, how would you tell them the story of Jesus? Maybe you're walking down the street and somebody, I've heard of this guy Jesus, but I don't know anything about him. How would you tell the story of Jesus to somebody that maybe have heard of him but doesn't really know him? As we've looked to the book of Acts, we've seen that done many different times. If you look at chapter 2 of Acts, remember when Peter stood up and gave the very first gospel sermon. And Peter goes back and he shows how Jesus fulfilled the great promises that God had made to David. And without going through that whole sermon, he shows that it was God's purpose and plan, and that God raised Jesus from the dead. If you look over to chapter 8 of Acts, you have Philip. And Philip comes along, an Ethiopian, riding in his chariot, and Philip goes up and teaches to him Jesus. How does he do it? Well, he starts from Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah lived roughly 700 years before Jesus. And in Isaiah 53, Isaiah gives you a picture of the cross that you couldn't have done a better job if you were standing at the cross. Yet Isaiah wrote that 700 years before. And starting with Isaiah, Philip teaches the Ethiopian about Jesus. If you're in chapter 10 of Acts, you remember the story of Cornelius? Peter goes to Cornelius. Now, Cornelius is a Roman soldier. And he's the first Gentile that the doors of the kingdom are now going to be open to everyone. And Peter takes the message to Cornelius. And where does Peter start? Well, he starts with the life of Jesus. And he brings out the fact that Jesus did powerful deeds on this earth. And actually, if you look at what Peter says, he uses that idea of power a couple times. But why would that be? Well, Cornelius is a Roman soldier. What is Rome all about? Rome was all about power. And that's how Peter presents that message, that the power of God to raise Jesus from the dead. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul gives us the very fundamentals. This is the foundation. These were the first importance. He says, according to Scriptures, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. John, in his gospel, we've looked at that before. At the very end of his gospel, John said, he gives us great signs that Jesus did. And he said, many other great works. But these are written that you can believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, we believe, was written by Mark, but it was actually sermons that Peter did when he was in Rome. That Peter went to Rome and did really a series, almost like a campaign, and Mark wrote those down for us as a gospel. But these were sermons given to the Romans. What would you do if you were teaching this crucified Jesus to Rome? And many would take the look at the Gospel of Mark as being really a defense of the cross and showing how the cross was not defeat, but was a triumph of the cross. This morning, we're going to start with Matthew. And I want you to take a look at how Matthew starts his gospel. When you look at in chapter 1 of Matthew, he says, this is the book of genealogy. Genealogy is also could be translated as the beginning. It's the very word we get the word Genesis from. Of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. Now, he starts off with two men. And if you go back to the Old Testament, we've looked at these before. God made a great covenant or even an oath to these men, to Abraham and to David, that through their descendants would come the Christ. And that's where Matthew starts with Abraham, who lived roughly 1,800 years before Jesus, and to David, who lived roughly 1,000 years before Jesus. And then he goes through the genealogy, starting with Abraham. But this genealogy is not like most genealogies, and we'll see some differences that he throws in. We don't probably think a lot about genealogies ourselves. A couple of years back, our son David was changing. He was changing from one college to another. And he had about 3 or 4 months in which he didn't have anything to do. So he got on the internet and started looking to our family tree. And he found, where our ancestors came from. And most of them came from, as you might think, Ireland and Scotland and England. And we had a couple from Germany. And one branch of our family actually came from France. Pretty much a hodgepodge from Europe. One thing we didn't find, my grandmother had always told us that we had some Indian blood in our lineage. We weren't able to find that. Now, my grandmother always had stories, so we never were quite sure if it was true. But as kids growing up, we really wanted to, you know, it was kind of neat that we have Indian blood in us. But what we did find out is that some of the genealogies, they would change them. That they mostly were church records. And if you have somebody in your family tree that sort of the dark sheep or something, they could just be erased. And so you don't always know how accurate your family trees are. But to the Jews, they were very important. To us, maybe it's sort of almost like a game that we play to go back and look. But to the Jew, it was very important, the family tree. To be a priest, you had to be actually of the lineage and had to show the lineage of Aaron. And so they traced there and they kept track of these things. And what Matthew does is he goes back to Abraham, and he's going to really, in some ways, paint the picture of Israel through their genealogy, ending, of course, with Jesus Christ. He starts with Abraham, the father of Isaac. Now, if you think about Abraham, Abraham had that great covenant that God made. If you look at the covenant that God makes, this is in Genesis chapter 12. Now, the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of earth shall be blessed." Now, Paul brings out very vividly that last sentence, all the families, all the world will be blessed through your lineage, points to Jesus Christ. This was the covenant. This was the beginning of God's great promises of coming of Christ. And he starts it with Abraham. And Abraham, he had a son, Isaac. Now, even that, the story of Isaac is one of the great stories of the Bible, because Abraham had been promised that he was going to be a great nation. In fact, God takes him out and says, look at all those stars up there. If you can count those stars, Abraham, that's going to be your children. You're going to count your children the same way. Yet, Abraham didn't have any children. And he went through his whole life until he was nearly 100 years old before Isaac was born. And so through Isaac, you have the faithfulness of Abraham and the great promises, though, of God and the fulfillment of those with the son of Isaac. Now look at the next part of the genealogy. And you see Matthew does something a little different. As he gets to the genealogy, he says, Isaac was the son of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Now, he adds that little phrase, and his brothers. Already this has now been a little different than a normal genealogy. Why did he add that phrase, and the brothers of Judah? Well, it points out the very patriarchs. These were the 12 tribes of Israel that came from Jacob, whose name was later changed to Israel. But if you look at those, he brings out the very idea, the kings would come through the line of Judah. Why would that be? Why would the kings come from Judah? Judah, if you go through the sons of Jacob, he was the fourth born. Now, you would think it'd be the firstborn, the oldest son, Reuben. Why did the kings of Israel not come through Reuben? Or the next two, Simeon and Levi, why not them? Why was it the fourth son, Judah? Well, it's because Reuben, Simeon, and Levi weren't such great guys. They had sins in their lives so that it fell down to Judah. But even Judah wasn't the greatest guy in the whole world, because notice the next thing that is said. And Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, by Tamar. Now, a couple things there. First off, Perez and Zerah, they were twins. Well, I mentioned both of them. Well, it brings out the idea with Tamar. Who was Tamar? That Judah would have a son by Tamar. Tamar was Judah's daughter-in-law. She wasn't his wife. She was the wife of his son. Now, his son had died, and then she became a widow, and she went to the next brother, and he became... It's an interesting story. It's in Genesis chapter 38. But the very story of Tamar that bring out the idea that the lineage of the great King David and of Jesus Christ came from Judah through Tamar, his daughter-in-law. But Matthew doesn't leave us there. He continues on down. And notice I'm not going to try to name all these people. If I do, I'll name them, but... Hopefully my pronunciation won't be too bad. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram I can get. Ram was Aminadab, and Aminadab of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab. Now here's the next woman that's brought in. Normally you don't have women in a genealogy, but Matthew brings in Rahab. Who was Rahab, the father that's in this genealogy? Well, she was actually an innkeeper, sometimes referred to as a prostitute, because the innkeepers normally were prostitutes. And so we don't really know what her background was, but she lived in Jericho. And as Joshua goes to Jericho, he sends some spies out, and Rahab houses those spies. She's mentioned as a great woman of faith in the New Testament, in the books of James and in Hebrews. So she was a great woman of faith and became in the very lineage of great King David, Rahab. But after Rahab, notice what he does. In fact, he gets to Ruth. Ruth is one of the great stories of the whole Old Testament. If you go through the story of Ruth, she also was a widow. And she was a daughter-in-law of a widow. Naomi, her mother-in-law, had gone to Moab and with her husband and her sons. And her sons had married Moabite women, one of them being Ruth. But the sons had all died. And so Naomi comes back as a widow with Ruth as also a widow. And she sends back the other daughter-in-law, but Ruth says, "I will stay with you, Naomi, and take care of you." In fact, we have one of the great lines in all the Bible, in the book of Ruth, where Naomi tries to send Ruth away, but notice what Ruth says to Naomi. And Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you from me." Now that's a pledge. And that's the faithfulness of Ruth. And we see that now in this story. But Matthew doesn't end with Ruth. He brings it on down. He says, David was the father of Solomon. David and Solomon were probably the two greatest kings Israel ever had. But notice the next phrase. David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. Again, a great sin. He doesn't even use the term Bathsheba. He brings such emphasis to this idea of what happened with David and the sin he had of adultery, taking another man's wife, Bathsheba, and putting Uriah, he murders him. And this sin is brought out. Matthew emphasizes it by the way that he does. But in this, if you go back to the stories in Samuel, David was forgiven of this sin. But the consequences would stay with him. In fact, the consequences because of this sin, Israel would end up having a terrible civil war because of the great sin. But David was forgiven. He was a man after God's own heart, and it was through his lineage that we have Solomon and even Jesus Christ himself. So what do we learn when we take a look at this the story that is given to us? What do we learn from the genealogy? One of the things, you sort of see the history of Israel. And you sort of see the ups and downs that Israel had. But you see the faithfulness of God. One of the great stories in the Old Testament is the faithfulness of our God. And sometimes if we pass through, I know a year ago we went through the whole Old Testament and what we call the story, going through these great stories that Matthew just touches on. But they give us a foundation of who we are. And it shows the faithfulness of God. And it shows the ups and downs. And that so many of these, what we call the great patriarchs, some of them weren't so great in so many different ways. Definitely the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 tribes of Jacob. You go back and read about these guys, and they had a lot of different sins in their lives. But God was their God. And God was faithful. And they were faithful to Him. What we learn, if you look at the close to the end of chapter 1, from our scripture reading this morning, I just want to read the last part of that scripture reading. She, that of course Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from his sins. One of the ideas throughout the Old Testament is that Israel would be good and then they would not be so good, but God would send a Savior for them. But Jesus is going to be the last Savior. He's going to be the one. He will be the one that will fulfill all the promises that God has made and that would save down all of His people. And one of the stories of Matthew is that that would be more than just Israel, the nation of Israel, but that kingdom would be open to the whole world. He will say that was why. He would be the purpose of God to save His people. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken through the prophet. And one of the messages we see is that this is fulfillment of the Scriptures. This has always been God's plan. And now it's fulfilled in Jesus. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that's the last part that Matthew brings out, is that Jesus would bring God down to us. He would show us the Father by His life. He would show us the Father's love by His death upon the cross. He would show us the love of God. And He would bring that love of God so that down to us. It's like He couldn't bring us up without bringing God down. And so Jesus is that one that reconciles us to the Father by bringing God down, the Father down to us, and by raising us up to a righteousness that's not our own, but comes only through Jesus Christ. So He can truly reconcile us and make us once again the way that God wants His people to be. And that is to the Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to end with one more passage, and this came from Revelation. And some of you were here when we had the lecture from John Lennox. And Lennox brings out in chapter 4 of Revelation what I thought was a very, very special point. We sometimes think about, what is our purpose? Why am I really here? And that one of the ideas throughout the New Testament, you're here because God loves you and because God wants you to be here. Look at the great song of praise to God. Worthy of you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. By your will is why you're here. God wanted you to be. God wanted you to be here. And God wants to show you His love. And that's one of the great messages I think we see in the book of Matthew. God wants us. He wanted us to be. It's why He created us. But not just wanted us to be. He wanted to have a relationship with us. He wants to show you His love. And the love of God is one of those great themes that I think runs through all the Gospels, but especially through the Gospel of Matthew. And that you see the love of God given to us through Jesus. That through Jesus, God was the Father was able to show us His great love that He has for each and every one of us. This morning, just a few points, and the message is yours. The message of Jesus always includes the cross. If you go back to all the different ones we talked about, from Peter to Philip to Paul, they always center on the cross. Because it's through the cross that God can truly show us His love. God is faithful to His promises. You go back to the promises He made to Abraham and to David and throughout all the Scriptures. All the Scriptures tell us about the faithfulness of our God. And that doesn't always mean things go the way we want them to. And you see that with Israel, that they go up and they go down, and so do we. But we have a God who is always faithful. God uses unlikely people. You look at these people that He brings out, Tamar and Rahab and Ruth and even Bathsheba. These were unlikely people to be placed in the very genealogy of the great King David and even of Jesus Christ Himself. And one of the things that you see throughout the Old Testament is that God can use, He can use us. And we may not think that we've got anything that God can make use of, but we do. Because God wanted us to be. And God wants to show us His love. And He can use the most unlikely of us. God is always a God of forgiveness. I think the reason He brings out King David the way that He does is to show us that God can forgive us. If you go back through the patriarchs like Judah and Reuben and Simeon and Levi, God is a God of forgiveness. And He shows it to us. Finally, God is a God who wants to be with us. He wants to reconcile us with us. And the story of Jesus is one of love. It's one of that God shows us that He wants to be back with us again. He wants to reconcile us to Himself. He wants us to be, but not just to be, He wants us to be with Him. And that's one of the great stories that we see in the book of Matthew. A God that wants to reach out, that He has made the effort to reach to us. He gave us His Son. And His Son was willing to die on the cross for us, to show us the great love that God has for each and every one of us. This morning, we're going to start this morning the story of Jesus, the message of Jesus from Matthew. I didn't get it on the marquee this week, but we will get it up there very soon. I don't know if you ever noticed the marquee. But we took down Acts this week, but we didn't get Matthew up there. But we will, and because our hope is that over the summer to have a series of showing us the love of God from the Gospel of Matthew. This morning, if you've never accepted the love of God, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and been baptized into His name so that you can have a relationship with God, be reconciled with Him, there's never be a better time than this morning. Or if you've started that walk with Him, but you haven't been faithful to it, just as Israel could always go back, we have a God that's always willing to take us back, that will always forgive us of our sins. If you need to come in any way, won't you come? It's together we stand and sing.